Welcome to Know the Name, Know the Answers, where every week you get to call in and get answers to your questions. And we get to be flexible on this end. It seems that we never know what's going to happen with all the strange things that are happening in our world right now, between the stabbings and the fires and the guns and everything else that's happening. We just never know anymore if people are going to be able to meet commitments, show up when they're supposed to show up, be where they're supposed to be, and do what they've said they're going to do. Incredibly reliable people, things are happening too. And you just wonder, just like when we had the wonderful Elizabeth Joyce on the show, the first time she was scheduled, no show. It turns out she'd come back from 5 weeks thinking she'd be fine, ended up just literally sleeping through for 24, 48 hours. And so we finally got her on 2 weeks later. And it seems that we have a very similar thing happening tonight with JP McAvoy. Now, I have interviewed him on my other radio show. In case you want to just listen to the interview, you can always find that on knowthename.com under the schedule, because every Thursday you have what's there, or just go to xzbn.net and see the list on the archives underneath Know the Name. However, he is not with us tonight. So we're going back to getting your answers from the name. And again, my apologies. I talk with everybody, everything's scheduled, and you never know anymore, which just proves that all of us can be incredibly flexible. So if you'd like your name analyzed, please give us a call right here at 888 888 627-0008. Again, that would be 888-627-0008. You can also call us at 323-744-4831. Again, 323-744-4831. I thought I'd share what I was discussing earlier with a friend, and that is that there are timelines that come about. Now, I'm going to compare numerology to nameology just to give you some examples. So, Gail Minogue, and her last name is spelled Minogue, and she signed up to be on our show later. And Gail Minogue is just incredible as a numerologist. And she put out a video today that was talking about her timelines in names found through numerology. And she was saying that the answer is that the first 7 years of your life, from 0 to 7, you're worried about the physicality and getting used to the physicality and what it's like to be in a body. And then the next 7 years, from 7 to 14, you're concerned about the mental development, how smart you can be, can you interact, can you think intelligently? And then starting at 14, you start in doing the emotions. So from 14 to 21, everything's in 7 years, you're doing emotions and you're learning about emotions. And that's why we think our teenagers are wackadoodles. And then starting at 21 to 28, you're integrating all of those three areas, the physical, the mental, the emotional. And then from 28 to 35, you start in on the career. Starting at 35, you start integrating the soul. And so what she was saying in numerology is that every 7 years you're integrating something differently and you constantly grow. And therefore, according to the numerology, you're not technically an adult until you're 35. Now, that is very different than how we find your cycles and in namology. And I will get back right back to that right after we take this phone call. Okay.
Thank
You
you
want
for
me to do it
allowing me
without the
on
phone
your
call?
program. Thank you, Sharon. It's a pleasure to be on your program. This is the producer, folks, one of the background's audio engineers, and Sharon does such a great job. I just had to ask. My wife, she has a name she was given, and I've never had a reading on her name, and I think and she's kind of curious along with me. So I figured, hey, who better to answer these questions than you?
Oh, wonderful. I love this, Don. Okay. So when I'm looking at her name, it says she knows how to take care of herself. You know? it makes your job easier because she absolutely knows how to take care of herself and to get her own needs met. But then she turns right around and helps everybody else and makes sure that they are also getting their needs met with her name. Now, her first name is Melissa, guys, and then I've got the whole name here. That's a little bit of a cheating. When she was being brought up, her family wanted her to think logically. They wanted her to be able to express emotions and, again, think logically. She, part of the reason she's here is to get beauty in the world and to be able to see beauty, but also to help solve problems for everybody. You know, your wife has one of those names that everybody wants to go dump their problems on her. And so she can give them really good advice because she's a really good listener. Have you watched that happen to her?
Oh, yeah. That seems to be the modus operandi.
Yep, because she's a natural inborn counselor with her name and incredibly likable, but she's not going to change who she is to get liked. The other thing is she knows everything about everybody because everybody trusts her to keep their secrets, you know, but she does not gossip. You know, yeah. So, but she keeps informed.
No, right,
not
on.
A gossip, you know, but she keeps informed of what's going on with everybody because she wants to know if something happens and she needs to bring food or something happens and she needs to go watch the dog or the kids. You know, she wants to be able to know what's happening in other people's lives so that she can be helpful with them. Okay. She's got a lot of things in her name that says she's very, very people oriented and she's very good around people. She's also very organized, has fairness issues, you know, wants the world to be fair, wants to be treated fair and wants to treat other people fairly. She also has, I'll just give you one of the challenges in her name. She doesn't have many. And that is when she's stressed. And it doesn't happen that often, but when she's stressed and she's just got too much going on, she may bark a little bit instead of asking nicely. It's like, do this, do that. We got to get that done.
Well, you got that.
Okay. Because she's got what I call the barking letters.
She's a
in
teacher.
There.
She used to be a teacher for 15 years. So you're right on. You're right on.
Yeah. Really good around kids and very organized.
Yeah, very. Yeah.
You know? And I'm sure all those kids thought that Melissa was their friend, not only their teacher, but their friend.
Yep.
You know, but she's got a really good memory on anything that's important to her, you know. And what's really good for your marriage is she's got a lot of tactile sense. So the feel of things, the color of things, the design of things, she wants her house beautiful. She wants her, you know, everything to feel good.
Right.
So if she's shopping for you, she's feeling that fabric. How's that going to feel against your skin before she would buy that for you?
You're right on. Yeah.
You know, and I'd say the only challenges that she really has in her name come around two areas. One would be if she's pushing herself too far athletically. You know, instead of taking it easy or working her way into it, because then she's really sore the next day and she doesn't like that. Okay. And so that would be a challenge for her, but she has to stay athletic and able to stay healthy.
Right.
Okay. She also, her name also says she's going to be the top of whatever she does. Whatever she puts her mind to, she's going to rise to the top because she doesn't want to be in the middle. You know, she wants to be one of the very best. It's very interesting, Dawn, because in her name, she's got what makes a really good actress. So she could have a second career of an actress if she wanted to.
Wow. Yeah.
You know,
I hear you. That'd be great. But I wish she'd went that route, actually.
Did she?
No, but I wish she had.
Yeah. I was going to say, she's got the same thing in her name that Renee Zellweger has in her name. And so she could be just as good as Renee Zellweger.
Wow. Thank you.
Uh-huh. That's all there. And the only times is only when she gets really stressed, when she thinks there's just too much on my plate and she just wants to throw the whole plate out with the bathwater type of thing. That's the only time you're going to see her emotions really come out. Other than that, I think she holds it together really well and stays very balanced.
You're right on. You've pegged her. You did a great job. You pegged her right on. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you.
You're so welcome. She's smart.
She is. She is. Well, she married me.
Yeah. You got lucky.
I did.
You know, she also has something in her name that says that before she met you, she needed to get away from the house. It's almost like the parents said, here's the rules and you got to be them. And she needed to explore more. She needed to have more freedom. And so she had needed to leave the house to find out who she really was. So she could have done that by going away to college. She could have done that by spending the summer away, like camping or being with friends or whatever. But there was it's what I call the prodigal son syndrome that she's got in her birth name. And that is, she has to leave and able to find out who she really is, because while she's home, you know, the structure is so much there that everybody's got to fall in line.
So did she? Right. Interesting.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways of doing that. But the easiest one is just to go away to college, because then you're away from home. But you've got to get away from home to really figure out who you are. And if you stay home the whole time and then you jump into a new home, then you're going to have a time period where you've got to search for you, and it makes it harder.
You're right on. Well, that's exactly what she did. Right on. Yeah.
You know, but no, she's a good one. And what's really cool, Don, is when I'm comparing her name to yours, it's got the combinations in it. Through the vowels, because vowels are always our emotions and consonants are always our attitudes. And so you hook in with other people. Literally, you want to have similar attitudes on enough things, but you really hook in together. Do your emotions work together? Okay. And you have the combination between the two of you that are the longest lasting marriages. When we went into the phone books and we went into the, you know, the marriage certificates. And I mean, we did a lot of research in a lot of different places. And when we did that and started asking everybody who called in how long they'd been married or when they got divorced or, you know, and anytime I gave a talk to please give us that information, you two have the combination that has the best chances of having a lifelong marriage.
Thank you. You know, I believe that. It's both our first marriage. Everyone in her family was divorced, including everyone in my family. Father, mother, brothers, sisters, everyone. But we're the first two in our own families to have a first marriage, and it's lasted. We've been together since 1994, so you're right on track.
You know, isn't that wonderful, though?
It is.
You know, and I am so happy for you. And
you.
I always,
Thank
when
you.
I got married, I literally said when we wrote our own vows was that I was, you know, they say that till death do you part bit. And I said, I'm not saying that. I'm saying as long as love is present.
There you go.
As long as love is present, I'm here. You know, and the minute it's not, I'm out of here. You know.
That's smart.
You know, because I look at some of our vows, and I got married to a person in the military, and we were overseas. I was teaching overseas, and he was in the military overseas. And we got married, and the chaplain, I think that's what they call them, for the base would not marry us because he had a standard marriage ceremony, and I disagreed with 3 points of it. And
wow.
I said, first of all, nobody's going to give me away because nobody owns me. So you're not going to say who giveth this woman because nobody owns me to give me. I said, you can say who presents this woman, who, you know. And anyway, there were three little, I want to say, contentious points like that. And he would not change. And so I looked at the person that I married, ended up marrying, and saying, I can't do this with him. So we got married in a courthouse.
Wow.
In Germany.
Wow.
I was like, you want to marry me? It's not going to be with him. You know, and you never know. You know, you've got to work out. I really think we have those big wedding things, whatever, so that everybody can work out their issues and while they're planning that wedding together.
Could be. Yep.
You know, I mean, I remember one of my sisters got married, and her fiance at the time said, you know, China was a big thing. You had to pick your pattern of China that shows our age. And it. Anyway, and she went, and he just said, honey, you pick whatever you want. You're going to be the one in the kitchen. You're going to be the one washing them. You pick what makes you happy. Okay. And then another one of my sisters got married, and he wanted to have a say in everything. And I thought they were going to break up over China. You know, they couldn't agree on a pattern. And I do want to say that they have been married incredibly a long time. And so it's absolutely beautiful. They've been married since 1970 something. And so they did work it out. But I really thought, oh, my gosh, if they could just pick a pattern of china together and all they had to learn about each other just in picking the china. And when I saw that, because my mom was really into everybody has to have their own china, I thought, I haven't met him yet and I don't need things. I'm already teaching, you know, and I don't need much. So I told everybody, I went and picked my china pattern. And I said, start sending me china so that if it's a birthday or whatnot, give me china now. So when I meet somebody, it's not going to be an issue because I already own it. I thought, man, I don't want to fight over china. You know, to me, that was the stupidest thing. And I look today and I think, how often do we use our nice china?
Never.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I purposely will get it out at different times when I have company just because I want to use my china. But I look at that too, it's silver. You know, my sisters gave me this gorgeous silver pitcher for a wedding gift. And I think, when do I use it? Not unless I'm getting the china out. But there's so many more important things for couples when they're getting married today than china or silver pitchers or whatnot. And you go to the antique stores and there's more and more silver for sale because it's not what it used to be. You know, there's not the emphasis on it.
Right.
You know, well, anyway, I'm thrilled to have done your wife's name. Thanks, Don.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And folks, look, if you want to get a reading from the best of the best, call in. Hey, it's toll free. It's 888-627-6008. Call in, get your reading. I'm going to let you go, Sharon. You're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Don. Okay, so before Don came in, we were talking about cycles and how you find cycles and seven-year cycles in numerology, but in namology science, it's different. In namology, every letter has a number that goes with it. And you're in that cycle for that many years. And so you really have the emphasis. Like if it's an A, it's a one. And so, or if it's an S or a J, it's a one. And so for 1 year, you would be focused on that topic that the A represents, the J represents, or the S represents. And so that would be your focus for that year. And then let's say you have a letter that's a two. Okay. Then that means that for that particular concept, you need 2 years and able to accomplish what you want on that one. So we're numerology, everything's in 7 year cycles. In namology, you could have a 1 year cycle, a 2 year cycle, a 3 year cycle, all the way up to 9 years on something. And what's really fun to do is when you're doing a name and you lay it all out, that you can see the progression and you say, okay, you did this until this age. And then from this age to this age, you know, your focus was here. And you can literally land when somebody got married, when somebody graduated from school, when somebody switched jobs. You can see it all in the numbers that go along with the letters if you just know what the letters mean. And, you know, I love sharing it. I love teaching it. And if you mention the radio show just during the month of August, we're having a 20% sale if you want to take the full course, course in learning all the basics so that by the time you're done with the course and we send it to you in a box and you get to call in and join our classes that we have once a month online to keep learning. And all of that is 20% discount if you mention that you heard that on this radio show just for the month of August. And so we're doing that just because astrologically, from the people that have been on the show doing astrology, have told me that this is a great month for people to start learning something new. And then I was thinking, that's great because school happens to start this month for a lot of people. And if it's a great month to start learning something new, how perfect for school to start at that same time. The name is so important. Your destiny, your talents, what you came to do, how you came to do it. All of that is in the name. Often you've heard me say that in the name, it'll tell you what is important. For an example, if you're in your name, it says that you need to get from LA to New York. then you might start off by walking and thinking you're never going to make it in your lifetime to get all the way to New York. But you may discover then that, hey, you could hitchhike. And then you may think, you know, this isn't safe or fast enough or whatever. It's got problems. But maybe if I stay put for a while and get a job and earn some money, I could get a bus ticket or a train ticket. And what's really lovely when you're going through the name is the name indicates to you how you get on that airplane and get there the fastest. So that way you have a choice. Do you want to do it the slowest way by walking? Or do you want to do it the fastest way by getting in the plane? Or do you want to do it some way in the middle? But the name always tells you how to get from one point to another. And then it gives you 7 reasons that you came here. Now, why 7 reasons? People ask me all the time. And I go, I don't know. I know it's a lot, simply because we're in this time frame where everybody wants to cycle off. Okay, and I'll explain all of that in a minute. And so it came up with 7. In most lifetimes, you're coming down with one reason, one thing to accomplish, one thing that you want to do. Occasionally, you would have 2 things, 2 big skills that you want to learn. And according to J.J. Dewey's work, he says that we get about 1,000 lifetimes before we cycle off. So what is this about cycling off? If you look at the zodiacal wheel of 12 divisions, there is an outer wheel and an inner wheel. And the wheels always start in the age of Aquarius. And so the inner wheel has to go around all of the signs from Aquarius to Capricorn, you know, all the way around and coming back to Aquarius before the outer wheel can transfer to the next sign. So we start with Aquarius under Aquarius. And then we have Capricorn under Aquarius, Sagittarius under Aquarius, Scorpio under Aquarius, et cetera, all the way around. Finally, Pisces under Aquarius. And then Aquarius on the outside wheel gets to shift, and now it's under Capricorn. So we have Aquarius under Capricorn, and then we have Capricorn under Capricorn, Sagittarius under Capricorn, you know. And again, we're going around all the wheels on the inside before the outside gets to shift one time. Now, it takes 2,160 years, according to Afra Wesch's research, and she was one of the few astrologers that Hitler did not kill. And so from her work with astrology, she said it's 2,160 years to go in the inner wheel between signs. She says it's not exact. Some have a few more years, some have a few less years. But basically, it's 2,160 years. Therefore, to go all the way around the circle and the inside wheel is 26,000 years, plus or minus a few years. All right. So then the outside wheel would shift every 26,000 years. Okay. And what does that mean? That really means that when you're getting on that outside wheel and you've got to multiply that 26,000 years by 12, you're getting like 312,000 years. That is a long time to go around that outside wheel. Okay. So when the inner wheel comes finally back around, and you know that the last sign would be Pisces. So you have Aquarius under Pisces, you know, Capricorn under Pisces, Sag under Pisces, and eventually you get to Pisces under Pisces. That is what we were just leaving. And the reason 2012 was so darn exciting for everybody, and everybody heard so much about 2012, was literally because in 2012, the outer wheel went to Aquarius. Now, the inner wheel was just a few years behind. Okay, so we're now in the cusp between Pisces and Aquarius with the inner wheel. So it's going to be very soon where we will have Aquarius under Aquarius. During that 2,160 years that we have Aquarius under Aquarius, that is when souls can cycle off the wheel of reincarnation here on Earth. And that's like when people come knocking at your door and they go, do you need to be saved? And then they want to preach to you or talk to you about saving you. What a lot of them don't understand is what they're referring to be quote unquote saved is, do you have the knowledge that you need to get off the wheel of reincarnation during this time before you're stuck on the wheel again for 312,000 years? And that's a really biggie. Now, in this time period of 2,160 years, you can have quite a few lifetimes, you know, and able to get what it is that you need to get done and learn or whatever, so that you have the consciousness level, the level of vibration and the level of consciousness to actually cycle off. Okay. And starting with when we switch to the outer wheel, I started noticing right before then that people, instead of having one or two, you know, goals for this lifetime, we really have about seven. So everybody's doubling up. How much can I get done in every lifetime so that I have the opportunity to cycle off? And that's why everybody's busy, everybody's working, everybody's doing as much as they can, because you want to grasp and learn as much as you can so you can literally get off. Now, if you read a lot of Alice A. Bailey's work and Blavatsky's work, they talk about root races, and that a group will come to the planet and it'll be one whole group of souls together. And they'll progress through the planet their 312,000 years, learning what they came to learn. And then before they leave, the whole next root race will come down to learn what they can from the last root race. And then as the last root race is leaving, that this new root race now goes through their 312,000 years. Okay. And to learn what they came. And so the goal was, or how it was set up, was that every root race would learn from the one preceding them. And then that preceding root race would leave. And so you'd have this root race for the big trip around. And then they would help the next group get established. So if you're reading all of that, the first root race were in an etheric body. They didn't have the physical body. Okay. Then the second root race was the one that got the density and started having the physical body. And they had to learn how to deal with the physical body because they kept killing it. They'd dive off a cliff that was way too high, and then they'd land and go splat, and the body would die. And so, or then they'd dive too deep into the water and not come up for air, and then the body would die. And so it was the second root race that had to learn how to behave in a density body. And because they needed help, they created a thing that we call the ego. And therefore, the ego would say, oh, wait a minute, you jump from that cliff, your body's going to go splat. Oh, wait a minute, you dive too deep in that water, you're not going to be able to come to the surface and get air enough, you know, and it's time to get air. And so the ego started being the, you know, don't do this because it'll kill the body. And it was designed simply to help you keep the body alive. Only over time, the spirit started thinking, wow, this ego is really smart. He's always keeping me safe. And so too much power went to the ego instead of keeping the ego in its place and saying, you know what, ego, I really appreciate what you're doing for me, helping me to keep this body safe. And I certainly appreciate that, but also keeping it in its rightful position. So that was the second root race. Now, of course, we're gaining the bodies. The third root race is coming in, and they're using some of the DNA from the second bodies because they've got to enable to come in. So the third root race is what we consider the Chinese and the Oriental people. And they've come on, and they went around their cycle, and some of them cycled off, but a lot of them said, hey, we got so smart and we know so much. If we stay during the whole cycle of the fourth root race, think what we could know then. And then the fourth root race came on, and that is basically, according to the readings, Caucasians, and that was great. And then as the fourth now is getting ready to cycle off, of course, there's got to be years before that and enough years to get enough of the fifth root race in here to anchor the fifth root race. And the fifth root race are the people that do not have white skin. Okay, so you've got the blacks and Hispanics and mulattoes and Indians, and you've got this whole other group that what I want to say are brown, various shades of brown skin. And this indicates that they're part of that fifth root race. Now, my understanding from everything I've read is that each root race gets a little bit smarter or is going after something that's of a higher vibration than the root race before them. And that's why they come in to learn from the previous root race. And this is the first time on the earth that we have three root races here at the same time. And my teachers tell me that it is because we have three root races here at the same time that there is so much disharmony. And of course, people can jump so that if they want to have an experience of this kind of a body instead of that kind of a body, or this color instead of that color, that you get that choice once you've been on the wheel. You know, so if you want to have that experience of that next root race up because you decided to stay, you know, or you can hold on to your own. But I think all of that is just fascinating to look at those things from a different perspective. Okay, we're going to go back to names right after this very short commercial break.
How would you like to be able to read other people's minds? Well, the next best thing is here. When you know how to read a person's name, you know how the person thinks, feels, and behaves. Each letter in our name holds a key to unlock our true essence. Our name contains both our gifts and challenges in this lifetime. Nemology science discovers personality secrets hidden in the placement of the letters of our names, including the first and last impression people remember about us. Sharon shows us how to interpret the arrangement of letters as outlined in her book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Sharon Lynn Wyeth created Nemology Science after 18 years of research and testing her theories, and has supported thousands of people around the world in understanding themselves and others better. You'll enjoy Sharon's unique teachings as she shares her system to learn the gifts behind your given birth name. Even if you don't like your birth name, there are jewels in this book. If you're thinking of changing your name, ready to name your child, or wanting to get along better with others, this is the book for you. If you'd like to improve your relationships and change your life for the better, get the book today, Know the Name, Know the Person, or visit www.knowthename.com. That's www.knowthename.com.
All right, the second half of the show, I always like to take care of emails that came in and other people that have called in that don't want to be online. They just want to give their name. And so I am going to do Don's name right now. And so in Don's name, it says that you are the Don with the last name that starts with an N. It says that you are very logical, that you have practical deductive reasoning. So things that are like math, music, mechanics, all of that is very easy for you to grasp onto when you have a decent teacher or somebody to show you, because it makes sense and it's practical. Your name also says that you don't like making the same mistake twice. You don't mind making it once because that's just a learning. But to make it twice, oh no, we don't like that. Okay. And so You may start with, like, let's say you got to mow the lawn. Okay. You may mow the lawn and realize how long it takes. And maybe it takes 3 hours. I'm just making up numbers. Maybe it takes 3 hours to mow the lawn. Well, the next time you have to mow that lawn, you don't want it to take 3 hours. So you're going to sit there with a paper and a pencil and draw that lawn. And how can you walk it in such a way that you never retrace your same steps, so that it can take less time? And it may take you 2 hours to figure out exactly how to walk that lawn so it only takes you an hour. So this particular day, it still took you 3 hours. But every day after that, you have to mow the lawn, it's only going to take you an hour. Okay?
I agree. I'm like that. Detail-oriented, figure everything out, put it to paper and pen, or put it to Excel files. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then you have also in your name that you can get upset when systems don't work. It's not when people don't work. You have patience for the people and you're very nurturing, but it's when the system doesn't work. You know, like something's broken in the system.
Or rotten.
Or all the pieces aren't being picked up. Okay? Okay. So I look at that also with our current president, because his first name is also Donald. And that's where I'm reading that in your name, Don. And so when systems don't work, that's also what upsets him. Okay. It's like, come on, we got to get this going.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And it says that you have your name indicates that you have a foundation or a basis of logic and religion and ethics and morals. And that's very important to you, so that when you go to make a decision, that you're using your foundation of what you've claimed to be your ethics and morals. And that you wouldn't do something against your own ethics and morals, because that's very important to you.
Very. You're right on.
Okay. And it says that you grow in your faith and understanding as the years go by, because your name starts with God and ends with God. Okay. So it means that you never lose track of your faith all the way through.
You're right on. You're right on.
What I really like in your name, Don, is it says that you can juggle so many balls in the air all at the same time, you know, and you don't drop any. You just keep juggling. And there's certain names, the majority of names, we're really good to focus in on one thing at a time, the majority of names. And then some people can do a few, maybe two or three things at the time, but not do them as well. But the people that have your combination, they can keep a whole lot of balls in the air all at the same time and keep it going round. And if there's not enough balls in the air, you'll create some, because it's boring not to have too, you know, not to have too few.
Isn't that the truth?
You know, your name also indicates that you can learn from anybody. But when you're learning, you have no patience to wait for an answer. It's like you want that person right there sitting next to you. And that when that person's sitting next to you, it's like that way when you have a question, you can get an immediate answer. But right. The minute you've gotten the foundation laid and you kind of know what you're doing, or you think you know what you're doing, then it's like, go away, leave me alone. You're sitting too close. Don't micromanage me. Go away.
Exactly. And then,
right. But then it's how nicely can you say that to get them to leave, you know? Okay. You also have in your name that this says that when you hit the halfway to the three quarter mark in your life, so I would say between 50 and 75, I'm going to say 100 years is a life. Okay. So that between 50 and 75, it's really important you start on a regular exercise program, because that's what's going to keep you healthy. And it can be something as rigorous as tennis, but it could be something as simple as dancing.
I totally agree. I felt that. I turned 50 in December, and I realized, you know, I have neglected to exercise and keep my exercise up. And I used to do it a lot when I was younger, and it's the one thing that picks my mind constantly. Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't supposed to start again till 50, so you were not being neglectful.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. From 50 to 75, that's when it becomes important. Now, because you've got this logical, practical mind, you can get bored really easily exercising. So I'm going to recommend square dancing.
Because square dancing
in the first group is mainstream. That's 65 calls you get to learn. They teach it over a 6-month time period. And so everybody in the square has to remember the call, do the call, and end by the end of the count for the call in the right place. And then the next call comes. And then after mainstream, that 65, the next 35 is called plus. And so once you know that 100 calls, you can dance just about anywhere. But then there's the A level, and that's the next 70 calls. And that gets a lot more complicated, because all the rest are symmetrical. So if you forget where you could be, you know who's supposed to always be across from you, and you can look where they are and make yourself across, right? But once you get into A, that's not true anymore. So you have to know where you're going. And that's the next 70 calls. And altogether in square dancing, there's 600 calls. So it would keep you busy for a long time.
I'm going to have to try. I might just take you up on that. I square danced a few times and always liked it.
Yeah. And then, and classes usually start in September or in January of the year, depending on where you are. So this would be a perfect time just to get ready to start.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Thank you.
And Melissa would like it because it's very social. And the nicest people go to do square dancing.
And she's social and she actually likes country. So there you go.
Yep. There you go. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's an activity that both of you could do together. Okay. And in your name also, Don, it says that you like to be in charge of you. You do not ever want to be underneath somebody else's thumb because you want to be the boss.
I've just found that it's safer, smarter, and more effective when I am. Not to say I'm all that. I've been in other situations throughout my life, and I've just found it to be safer, smarter, and more rewarding when I am at the helm.
I want to say that that's what your brother feels also.
He does.
You know, you both have that in common. It's like, no, put me in charge. And for you and your brother, because you both have that in your name, it's like each of you needs to be in charge of your section of what you're doing, and never the twain shall meet. The other one can offer suggestions, but keep your hands out and don't make a decision.
And that's how we do it. That's exactly how it's done here.
Yeah, because if not, there would be conflict.
Right.
I say that when I look at names and I think we have two Indian chiefs and no Indians. So how do you do that? Right. You both have your territory that you get to be the Indian chief on.
Right. You splice and dice it up and you look after what you need to look after and don't interfere with the other unless it's absolutely necessary.
Exactly. And then everybody's a lot happier.
Right.
But you also have in your name, which I think is really interesting, is you are more organized when you are under stress than when you are not under stress.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like you say, I'll add to the stress just to make sure things happen in a timely matter and a manner. And if they don't, well, then I'll just add to the stress. Right.
Right. And keep one more ball up in the air. Right.
Right.
So what's fascinating to me is that you have a challenge in your name, and if the challenge part, it can be turned into a gift. The challenge part is that you may not see everything clearly. Okay. And so at first, you know, you may think it's one way, but it's really a different way.
Right.
However, once you start getting maturity or years behind you or more experiences behind you, that same combination becomes visionary, where you can be a visionary. So you can imagine what it could be like, and then you have a goal to make it like that.
Right. Well said.
Okay. And the other thing that's interesting is, Don, is that it has in your name that in your last lifetime that you didn't have self-confidence. You were always trying to have it, but it was broken down. Okay. And what that means is that every time you started feeling good about yourself, somebody would say something and you'd be right back down where you were. But self-confidence is different than self-worth, because you've got self-worth in your name. Self-confidence is knowing how to do and knowing that you have the skill. Okay. And self-worth is that you have value because you are who you are, regardless if you couldn't do anything.
Right.
And it doesn't say that that's a problem this lifetime. It says you came in with it from last lifetime to cure it and to develop it in this time so that you would have self-confidence in this life.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because the middle names always tell us what you were learning last time. And when you drop them into the first name, it lets you know, are you going to complete it this lifetime, or you have to put a lot of work into it, or is it just going to come naturally? You know, and do you finish it, or does it take another lifetime? You know,
yeah.
So that's always in the name also, which I just think is just incredible, all the things that are in a name.
I agree. It's just amazing what a name tells you. I mean, just the way you've shown me how important a name is and what it leads into. It's your past, present, and future. I love it.
Yep. And it gives it all to you. And the other thing in your name is it says that if you don't want to do something, guess what? You are not going to. And you pick that up from your parents. It was not innate to you.
Right, right.
You learned they don't do what they don't want to do, so you're not going to do what you don't want to do.
You're absolutely right on.
You know, I look at that in your name. When I see that in people's names, it's like if you're making an agreement with them, you have to make really sure that you're very, very clear. Because if you're not clear and all of a sudden they're not going to do something and you go, how come I didn't know that? Well, that's why you need to get that clarity out first. Right. You know, and then you have names like mine that are like, whatever, what don't you want to do? Fine, I'll pick up the pieces. You know, mine's a fairly laid back name. but it's a very strong name. You know, it's like, it is a name that knows who I am. Didn't have a question. Don't need other people's approval. A lot of names you need other people's approval, even though, which almost may seem contradictory, it says I'm a people pleaser, but I don't need their approval.
Right.
You know, you know, it's just easier. So there was this one job done that I had, where when I worked in central office for a school district, all the complaints from the parents came to my desk first because I oversaw the counselors for a school district. And so all the complaints came to me. And it was like, yes, I want to please them so they go away happy. But in the same time, if they don't like me while I'm doing it, it's okay. Quite a dichotomy. But I would sit there and say, I would make sure that they knew I heard them for what the problem was. And then I'd ask them, I'd say, what did the principal say when you talked to them about it? And sometimes they'd say, well, I didn't talk to the principal. And I'd go, you're jumping steps. Let me call the principal and let him know that you're coming right over. Right. And I would explain the whole problem on the phone to the principal so that they, if they needed to do research or find out something, they could do that while the person was driving over there from central office. And sometimes they'd say, well, I talked to the principal. Yeah, I told the principal. And I would still call the principal. And I would say, I have this person in my office, and this is what the problem is. And what happened from your end? You know, what did you do? And sometimes the principal would say, they didn't come in here. And then I'd tell them the same thing. You don't get to jump steps. Got to go give the principal a chance first. And otherwise, the principal would tell me what went on and what they decided and why they decided it. And then I would tell the person, this is what I can do, and this is what I cannot do. And then I'd call the principal back and give them the results, because the principals had to do what we asked.
Right.
You know, and so, but I always wanted to be reasonable because I had been a high school administrator. And so I knew what you could expect and what you couldn't expect, you know, what was doable and what not. Anyway, Donald, it was so much fun getting to analyze Melissa's name and your name this time. Thank you so much for coming on with me.
Oh, Sharon, thank you. It's truly a blessing to have you with us. You're just the best. I really, really thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. So for anyone who wants to learn how to do this, and what you heard me do tonight is very fast, very quick. When you call in and you want your name done, I spend a lot of time looking at all the subtleties and all the little things so that literally I can talk 2 hours on any name, solve any problems, answer any questions, because everything lies right there in the name. And if you want to learn how to do this for yourself, remember, mention this radio show, you get 20% off. This is a rare thing. I think I've only once before given a discount on this program. And so just let us know if that would help serve you. And you can go to knowthename.com and you can sign up to get your name read, or on the services page or on the same page, you can sign up and learn how to do this for yourself. It is always a joy to share knowledge with you. This is Know the Name, Know the Answers with your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Signing off.